I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings.
Dude, that's pretty cool.
Man, that is a,
Dude, that's pretty good.
This is The Gloom, bringing you weekly interviews with F3 Omaha Packs, exploring their F3 experiences and finding those sticky elements that create the glue in the gloom.
Shout out to our sponsors. Major Team Mortgage, Omaha Laser Dentistry, Exclusively Eye Care, Liberty Core Real Estate, Avier Wealth Management, and Apex Men's Clinic. We appreciate their support.
Liberty Core Real Estate is your homegrown real estate broker. If you're looking to buy or sell real estate, whether personal or investment, Armando, aka Brian, and Megan Michaels' company is ready to serve you. With Command Center in Old Town Elkhorn and agents all throughout the metro, they are more than ready to guide and serve you in your next real estate endeavor. Whether your next move needs to happen now or in 5 years, call or text Armando at 402-770-2165 to get your questions answered. And a special offer for F3 Nation PAX members, Liberty Core will donate $250 to your sponsor of choosing for every closed transaction. Stop looking, start finding today with Liberty Core Real Estate.
Now let's get back to the gloom.
And we're back. Man, this is good. I'm excited for this episode. Our little kind of pre-conversation. Sounds like we've got a guy who's a long-time listener, first-time caller. We always love to hear that the guys are finding the episodes impactful, and that's all because it's stories from men with great leadership, great impact, and just great life experience. So this episode's no different. We got our man Kryptonite recently, Site Q, Block Party, the mullet of all AOs, and we're excited to get your story. Why don't you take us back to sort of that EH? You know, something that I realize we maybe haven't always asked guys, but how long have you been doing F3? Would love to hear that as well, and then talk us through that first workout and how they landed on the name Kryptonite.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess first and foremost, as we were talking offline, thanks to you and Pony for what you do here. I think this is real value for the packs, and you know. It is pretty neat. When I first joined, I listened to a lot of the back episodes and got to hear stories about guys that I was just meeting, and look forward to this every week, getting the opportunity to hear a new leader's story. First learned about F3 from Saul. Saul and I went to high school together at prep. We were at some function, and I think I walked into a conversation where he was telling someone about F3. And really what I remembered was, you know, guys showing up, you know, in like public parks in the dark, and it sounded ridiculous to me. And I think he might have invited me even. What I really remembered was everyone had a nickname. Oh, fast forward, probably a year or two, Mother Goose and I are getting together for coffee, and, he happened to mention he, you know, just worked out nearby, lived close to where we were meeting at Stories. And I say, hey, what gym do you go to? And he said, well, I do F3. And I was like, is that the thing with the nicknames? And he said, yeah. And he went on to tell me about, you know, a lot of the stuff. And anyway, he was explaining the Murph to me. And he's like, you know, but if guys can't do the push-ups or whatever, you know, they modify it. Anyway, later that day, he sent me a text. And he's like, hey, I'm gonna post tomorrow. Do you want to give F3 a try? And I don't think I would have said yes if he wouldn't have made the comment about, you know, if you can't do the push-ups or whatever, it's okay. Because I was like, well, hell yeah, I can do the push-ups. Like, I'm going to show you. All that bravado lasted about 5 minutes into the beatdown. First post.
Where were you at for the
post? Yeah, first post was August 5th, 22. Hey was on the queue at Combine. And nice. Hey, did no warm-a-rama. We went straight to the wall, and I survived that pretty well, doing, you know, chicken peckers and presses and stuff like that. And then we went over onto the field, and the beatdown really consisted of us sprinting the field, and then we would get to the end zone and we'd do 100 reps of whatever exercise he called out.
Wow.
And
It's a beat down.
Yeah. Sure. And I don't think I got 100 reps on anything we did. You know, in the first few times down, I was hanging with the front of the packs. And then next couple, I was middle of the pack. And then I was definitely back there with the six towards the end of the beat down. I heard a lot of encouraging things from Mother Goose, like, are you doing okay? There's a lot of guys that throw up on their first workout, you know. Oh, I must have been showing it pretty good. I learned pretty quick my cardio wasn't up to snuff. So it was a good hard beat down. And so getting in the circle, I don't know that I gave the packs a lot to work with, kind of gave them the standard, you know, from Omaha, here's where I went to school, here's what I do for a job, married, got two kids. And it mentioned I was worked in banking. Someone threw out the name Repo, which I thought was kind of a cool name. And then Mother Goose had a whole bunch of stuff based on like my kids' names. My last name's Mason. I think someone was throwing out Jar, which happened to be my nickname in rugby. So I was like, well, that could be kind of cool. Well, anyway, then someone asked about tattoos, and I was like, well, I do have a couple tattoos, and one's on my back, which wouldn't be easy to show, but I got a Superman S on my right shoulder. And then someone tossed out Kryptonite, and that's what Hey Hey grabbed onto, and Kryptonite was born. So nice. That's how the naming happened.
Well, there's always worse names out there, and Kryptonite's actually not that bad.
No, I dig the name, so I think I came out on the good end of the naming for sure.
But the beatdown you were talking about, I'm always a little skeptical because those races to 100, right? You know, you get the guys that are like, all right, 100. I'm like, there's no chance. There's no shot that guy got 100. But it's a good format. You know, I want to go back. You said you knew Saul, and so you knew a couple guys, Mother Goose, Saul. You know, did you finally link up with Saul at a beatdown? Get to kind of consummate the, hey, I know you didn't really get the EH credit, but here I am to work out with you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't even know if Saul would remember that. But certainly we've come across each other in the gloom. I went to prep for high school. And so there's a lot of guys, you know, around my age, party, bird band. So there's a fair number of guys that I maybe knew previously, but you know, you meet so many guys you didn't know that, you know, are just tremendous, tremendous guys. So that's, you know, everyone says the same thing, but that's definitely one of the best parts of F3.
I think the question on my mind is what's the other tattoo? Like what could have been the other possibilities of names that we could have gone with?
The other tattoo, which, you know, is as creative, right? When you're 18 and 19, you got lots of cool ideas. I have the Japanese symbol for strength, sort of my shoulder blades, which, you know, in my, full on meathead days, when I was, you know, in a wife beater working out, looked really cool with a, you know, squat bar on my back. It's, you know, not as cool when you're 41 at the pool with your kids and people are like, you know, what the hell?
Yeah. And are you sure it says it means strength, right? Have you validated that's actually what it means? You know,
I have. Yeah, I can attest to, you know, I didn't find out 20 years later that it meant something else. But I shown that after my poor performance at the beatdown, the naming could have gone, you know, a lot of different directions south there for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think you went with the right tattoo to show. You mentioned a couple times, just sort of some of your past experiences kind of in this physical fitness realm, like rugby and weightlifting. Curious talk us through kind of, you know, just growing up, did you play sports? Obviously rugby, would love to just kind of hear. Prior to F3, what was your fitness journey like?
So, you know, played sports like most guys growing up, football, baseball. Always a terrible basketball player. I could shoot, but I can never handle a ball. And that's true to this day.
But you're so tall.
Yeah. played rugby probably because way, way less guys went out for it in high school than I could actually play.
Did Prep actually have a
team? Yeah, we did. Yeah, Prep had a team. Actually, Central, it was like a joint team as a club team. There was a Midwest Rugby League for a number of years. And anyway, did play sports. To be honest, I'm not a good athlete. And so found my way into the weight room, especially in high school and college. And from there, for me, lifting weights was, it's going to sound ridiculous to say, but really helped change my life because I found a lot of confidence in lifting weights. I'd say I always felt maybe somewhat inadequate. Maybe I went to a private school. You're around a lot of rich kids, and that was not my background. And one of the things I really liked about lifting weights was, you know, it's a meritocracy. The bar doesn't care what car you drive. The bar doesn't care that your dad's a doctor or a CFO. You either can lift the weight or you can't. It's just all about work. And in a lot of ways, I think F3 mirrors that, because when you show up, you don't know anything about it. I knew more about your family and background before I ever learned you worked in healthcare or IT. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's, to me, like, that was one of the corollaries that, frankly, I grabbed onto in F3. But I was competitive in powerlifting and doing bodybuilding for a number of years and hurt my back pretty bad in college, especially, and sort of struggled through that for a number of years, and then ended up having a couple back surgeries in 2016 and 2019. I mean, I've still got some ailments from that. One of them pinched a nerve into my leg. And so my right calf is atrophied. So if you ever see me walking with a limp, that's just how I walk.
You know.
And I'd like to say that's the reason I'm a slow runner, but I don't think that's actually the case. It's just genetics. But yeah, it was active. But certainly after I hurt my back, I got out of shape during COVID, started getting back into shape. And so F3 caught me at a good time from that perspective.
Yeah, I'm curious, you know, with your ailments and stuff, how do the workouts kind of either help you in those ways, or is there kind of some diminishing returns the more you post, the more effects it seems to have on your body, or where are you kind of at with the workouts themselves?
Yeah, I think for me, lotion is motion, or motion is lotion, I should say. So leading a coupon site, right? If I'm particularly tight, you know, or maybe we didn't pre-run, so I'm not quite as loose, and someone calls for, you know, a million murder bunnies. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of times where I'll do my murder bunnies with the coupon vertically, you know, just because then I'm not as in a vulnerable position. But I think F3 has been great. Especially in building up core strength and endurance. Those are definitely areas I didn't particularly like training. And so when you have more balance in the workout, when you have more balance in your strength, you know, if you overtrain one part of your body and you're really strong, then you're inevitably going to create weaker areas that you're not as, you know, you can't do the same motions because one part of your body is too strong and one part's too weak. And so I think that the well-rounded nature of F3 workouts has been a benefit for me, for sure.
You know, I love the fact that you shared, and appreciate you sharing just kind of the challenges being a young man, kind of those teenage years. And if you're not good at the things that everybody else is good at, like, where do you find that place to build confidence? And cool to me that you found it in the weight room. I'd be curious, you know, and then the anonymity that we have in F3, right, where you come into the group and it's really that equalizer, right? The gloom doesn't care who you are, what you do, you know, what you drove up in. I was just having that conversation with Tater at a workout yesterday that it's just so cool. Like, we, you know, we have all these guys that we're just all on the same page, and age doesn't even really matter either, right? Which is so cool. But for you, like, as you came into F3, I would be curious what your kind of pathway looked like. Like, how long did it take you before you found sort of your groove? Like, did you post Saturday and Monday, or did you take some time off, or what was your...
Yeah, I would say I've got a tendency if I get into something new, like I jump super hard and something, right? And my wife kind of always gives me a hard time about that. Like, you know, oh, we're all in on this now, right? And so I came back that Friday and she was kind of asking me about it. And I was like, yeah, you know, I think I could, you know, do some of this. But I was trying to like not be, you know, man, I'm Mr. F3 now. But I did, my ego was pretty bruised after that first beatdown. So I did post Saturday. Posted.
You had something to
prove. Yeah. I was like, to myself, I really did. I was like, man, I feel I can do better than that. Right. And man, there was, you know, I got taught a lesson there too. So, showed up to the Oracle at Da Vinci's on the queue. Right. So Da Vinci's, you know, he wasn't 70 yet, but I mean, he was pushing and he had us do Turkish get ups like for Warmarama.
I think I remember that. Yeah.
I remember. Like I was gassed like in Warmarama and I was like, boy, this isn't shaping up the way I thought it was going to. And then the group I got segmented into, I mean, we had some hammers in it. Like Hey Hey actually happened to be in my group. And I remember Retweet was trying to chat with me, like his son was at prep and, you know, they're trying to, you know, new guy, like, and I remember just like, hey, I don't mean to be rude, but like, I can't breathe right now. So like, I just need to like try to focus on getting back to the flags. So I'm going to prove it to myself on Saturday. Didn't quite work out, but you know, tried to answer the challenge around, boy, you know, your cardio's way it's not where it needs to be. And so tried to start doing some pre-running and leaning into that a little bit and, you know, just realize where I maybe had some deficiencies and, you know, I think F3 can help me improve on this and it certainly has.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I am curious, you know, you leading a block side, did you kind of have an affinity for more lifting than a traditional side and beat down and maybe talk to us about you experimenting with those other
things. Yeah, 100%. So a couple things happened. One, I live out west, kind of near 180th and Pacific. Well, like, had to be the second week or third week I was in, Whetstone launched, which is a mile from my front door. And so I was like, well, there's no reason I can't make this site. So I ran over there for the launch and did the beatdown. Well, at that site or at that beatdown, Fine Print announced that they were going to start doing pop-ups at Block Party. And that site was going to launch the following month. Well, that's in the neighborhood I live in. Okay. And so I don't know that I was like, hey, I'm going to commit to this thing yet, but it sort of felt like, you know, God was saying, what's your excuse if there's two sites within a mile of your front door? Mm-hmm. And 100% pony, like coupons, there's not as much cardio, let's face it, in a coupon site.
Yeah.
So it just, coupons were easier for me, frankly, than some of the intensive cardio or, you know, maybe even a string of pearls early on. And so, you know, I was a regular at Block Party, one, because of proximity, and two, just because it kind of met me where I was at already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I gravitated to that site and was regular there in the first year.
It's interesting just on the comments about like taking guys as they are, right? And where everyone's coming in at a different level, whatever. You know, your position is, hey, you know, I lean more heavily toward these types of workouts. On the opposite, I think the coupon workouts are hard. So I actually intentionally stay away from those locations because I just don't want to mess with them. So it's kind of cool. You know, I've always appreciated that we've got options out there for guys. And it's cool to hear how, you know, one seems to fit your needs better than the other.
Pony, I think you need to get on the queue schedule at a block site, brother. And
yeah,
you know,
that's fine. I've done it. I just don't like to do it.
Love it. You know, it's funny. I remember, I think that workout you were referencing with Da Vinci, I think that might have been his VQ. Cause I remember thinking like, wow, he just came out of the gate with like, we were over in that one parking lot doing those alarm clocks or Turkish get ups. And it was just thinking like, is this really like the oldest guy in our whole group is just, handing it to us. Like,
he handed it to me. I mean, I was sore from the day before, and I just remember, like, I was a puddle before we even started the beat down.
Yeah.
And I was like, boy, this isn't shaping up like I hoped it would, but
yeah. What, you know, as you think back the last couple of years, like where do you see yourself now? Are you still working on that cardio, or do you feel like you've hit some of the goals that were initially on your list, or how are you doing on that first step?
Yeah. I mean, I got to credit the PACs for challenging me. Like, I remember, I'm going to tell this story because it is meaningful to me, but Plug, you were actually leading the workout the week after I posted at Combine. So I came back. And I showed up to pre-run, but my idea was not to pre-run with the packs. I was going to pre-run on the track. So I waited till the group left. Well, it just so happened Tater and Khakis were running late. So I got out of my truck and I'm walking over to the track, and Tater's like, "You pre-running?" I was like, "Well, yeah, but," and he's like, "No, come on." Well, Tater drug me through my first pre-run. And credit to Khakis, he never let me be the six on that at all. And by the time we made it back, you, I think, were, through the principles and everything else for the beatdown. So we didn't make great time. But, I've worked at it. And in that first year, I signed up. I wanted to try to get through a half marathon.
Nice.
Through a bunch of series of sort of other friends encouraging me. I actually ended up doing 3 half marathons in 6 weeks by that fall. And that wouldn't have happened without F3. And then a buddy of mine who I ran one of those halves with asked me to do a full this year. And so ran a full trail marathon this June. And afterwards, I sent Tater and Khakis a note and said, "Hey, fellas, like, if you wouldn't drug me through that first, probably wasn't even 3 miles that I could barely make it up Pacific, this wouldn't happen today." And so I think that's just the testament to the power of the support and the guys, and then the opportunity that it presents for you to challenge yourself to achieve. And then I guess the other kind of goal, as I was getting stronger and in better shape, I wanted to get 315 back up on the bench. So I was able to achieve that. So, it's provided me the opportunity to set goals to work towards. No one's going to be impressed with my half or full times, but the fact that I even, got it done from where I started was a real achievement for me. So, grateful to F3 and the PACs for, being there to do the pre-runs and support you and cheer you on.
I love that. And just for the listeners, Plague and I could also throw up 315 too, just so there's no confusion.
I never question anyone's weights. I've been beat by a lot of guys I'm like, I'm going to win this thing. And then you don't even place. And it's like, well, I was completely wrong about that. So.
Oh, that's awesome. You did. I'm actually really impressed, just going back to your comments early on about, some issues that you deal with in your calf, and to even complete pre-runs to go to a half marathon, then to go to a marathon is, I think, quite the endeavor. And, I love that you're saying that, giving credit to other guys and helping you get there. I'll maybe expand a little bit there on that second half piece, the fellowship piece. We've talked a lot about your fitness journey and stuff. What was it like, coming into the group? How have you seen that those relationships kind of mature over time, and where you've gotten your support?
Yeah. I'll say I'm probably not the best at building friendships, just in general. So I'm probably not like the best person, but whether it's cafeteria or Q source or, happy hours or whatever. I mean, it's nice to have the opportunity there to just go interact. And I always feel like, I've got a young family, Plague. I think our kids are about the same age. And, mm-hmm. and now you just hit the reset button. But, you're kind of scheduled, right? Between career and between family. there's not a lot of extra time, and any extra time for friends can take away from that. And so F3 provides the opportunity to not only go out and get, you know, do something hard in the morning, but if you can go steal, you know, 20 minutes or a half hour or 10 minutes at cafeteria, and you get a shoot the breeze with guys, and then sometimes you end up in a deep conversation. You know, I just think that it's a real opportunity for you to kind of steal away a little time for yourself. And so I'm really grateful for that. And certainly there's been, you know, second half stuff we've done that, you know, it's been a lot of fun. Whether it's a happy hour, I took a trip down to Kansas City with Gator and Chowder, Long Neck and Tea Party. Yeah, we burnt it down one night. So, I mean, you know, there's been stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, it's, you have a whole new group of friends and just opportunity to socialize that is unique at this stage, at least in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I think we just talked to Sweet, who actually put it really, he said something that I'd never thought of before. You're talking about this concept of like taking time from family and your regimen, and you only have so much time to give. He like put it in a perspective I'd never thought of. Like, you can accomplish almost like a whole day's worth of work in that morning with the beat down, with some fellowship and stuff like that, to where you've already completed, you know, 6 hours, 10 hours of work just in that shortened time frame. And I really think that's a good perspective to have. And I really want to affirm you and echo kind of what you're saying. Like, go steal some time for yourself, mm-hmm. because you do get a lot out of it, for sure.
I think the other thing I'd just say that is something I always try to work on. But when you show up for a beatdown and you hear a guy's COT, or you're visiting with them a coffee, and you hear about some of the things guys are going through, I mean, not only can you be there to support them, but for me, you know, if you're hung up in your mind about, I don't know, whatever, an argument you had with your wife or something that's going on at work, and then you hear about someone who's really going through something serious, it provides perspective.
Yep.
And, you know, it's sort of one of those immediate gratitude things where it's like, I should just be so thankful that this is the biggest problem in my life right now, because there's guys going through, you know, real things, whether it's health or family or whatever it is. And so I think that's another aspect of F3 for me, is sort of that perspective that, you know, should give you gratitude with where you're at, what you have. And that's something I'm constantly working on for myself.
Yeah. When, you know, I would be curious if you, you know, when you say like you don't think you're very good at making friends, because I said that in my Bloom interview, and then I had Chicken Hawk reach out and he called me a liar basically, because he, you know, and so we talked about that. And one of the things that's interesting is like, what are our expectations, right, for being a good friend, right? And for many of us, showing up in the morning, that's the window of time we have. And then you don't really realize it until something bad does happen in your life. And then all of a sudden you've got 1,000 friends raising $20,000 for your child that's going through a cancer diagnosis. Right. And so I think in my mind, it's like, I'll say that I'm not a good friend, or maybe I don't have a ton of close friends, but the reality is my expectations are kind of out of whack. But for you, Kryptonite, what do you think that is that sort of causes you to say that about yourself? Like, I'm not the best at the second F piece, or I don't know.
Boy, I don't know. I think so. This is trying to make this a short story. My dad, biologic dad, took off when I was like a year old. So left his marriage, walked out on me and my mom. I was raised by a single mom for at least, you know, the first 10 years of my life, which wasn't an easy thing in the 80s and early 90s. We're Catholic. I mean, I was the only single, you know, holy parent household in my school. We were not affluent, to say the least. And so I think I probably always felt like a bit of an outsider because of that. And so because of it, I think I kind of, what you call it, a defense mechanism or whatever.
Yeah.
But I never let people get really close to me. I never built a lot of the close ties that people probably did when they were young. And that changed in high school and college. But I think I probably, just by, I don't know, how I grew up, because that's how I was, you know, I don't really let people necessarily get close. And so I don't know if that answers your question, yeah. Flag, but that's kind of
just a
quirk about my personality.
Well, and great self-awareness there.
Go ahead. Yeah. And I'd be curious, I mean, what have you seen that's worked for you to kind of work outside of that defense mechanism? I mean, wife, support,
yeah, I mean,
religion, whatever it is.
I'd probably say I still struggle with it, Pony, to be frank with you. But, you know, I think whether you're leading or you're being a friend or it's your relationship with your M or whatever, you got to be authentic, right? You need to be kind of honest with who you are and what you're about. And so I guess, first and foremost, and when I try to meet someone or you know, you're developing a new relationship, that's the approach I try to take, so that way as you're building that relationship, there's not any false pretense about it. But yeah, I would say you know, that's probably something I need to continue to work on, to be frank with you.
Yeah, I'd be curious from your perspective, kind of still thinking about this second F piece, you know, just sort of recognizing you have this maybe thing that sort of developed as you were younger, and then you come into F3 and there's all these guys, but there's also a lot of guys that you would have encountered, right, in those sort of formative years. Did that make it easier to sort of be like, oh, I know that guy from high school? Or did that make it more difficult to build those relationships? Just kind of curious. I don't know. Maybe it didn't impact it at all. But.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it impacted it. I think having commonality always helps, right? You know, pretty much everyone's from Omaha. Some of the guys I went to college with, or we went to the same college. Some of the guys we went to high school with, or whatever. But there's almost always some basis for, if nothing else, you live in the same city, right? And so there's kind of always some commonality that you can use as a jumping off point. Then probably more importantly, though, like if you're someone who is getting up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning to go do something hard, you know, I mean, my pitch to people on F3 is always, hey, you're going to get better physically. You're going to be surrounded by a bunch of guys that are also trying to get better. And pretty much all of their focus is, how can I be a better person? How can I be a better dad? How can I be a better husband? How can I positively impact my community? And then you're going to pray together. That's probably a group I want to be part of. Like,
for sure.
With all of my character deficiencies, I'm going to be better by just being around people like that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you're going to step into the right group of people just showing up, in my opinion, to an F3 workout. And I found the same thing to be true when I've had the opportunity to post downrange.
Yeah.
It's going to attract the same kind of people. Yeah. And that's a benefit. I mean, you get it for free.
Yeah.
I'm curious, when did that piece click for you? Because, right, I mean, obviously for most people, the join for the fitness aspect of it, but you're seeing these other ancillary benefits that come of being part of the group. At what point was it like, yeah, this is it? Yeah, this makes sense for
me. Yeah, I mean, it's probably a slow bleed, because initially you're sort of just trying to keep up. And half of what gets said in an F3 beatdown when you join is, you know, like another language, you know.
Sure.
And when there's so much camaraderie that when you initially show up, it's like kind of, you know, and it feels like there's a bit of a click. That's not to say, when you're a newer guy, there's not always 3, 4, 5 guys that are chatting you up and want to get to know you or whatever. But it seems like everyone knows each other so well when you first show up. And then, you know, after you show up for, you know, 2, 3 months, you're sort of just part of the culture. right? You know what the hell they're saying. You know what, you know guys, you've developed relationships. So I'd probably say it's a slow bleed that way, Pony, but when you have to articulate it, when you try to go EH someone, and you sort of have to try to distill down what F3 is, that's probably where I was able to try and articulate that point. And that's kind of my, you know, my selling point.
Well, I'm curious, maybe a question for the both of you, you know, what do you think is the most successful way to EH people? Is it you're focusing on the fitness piece or you're focusing on the fellowship piece?
And I don't know. You go for it, Kryptonite. I only have a couple guys that have EH and stuck around.
I mean, I guess I've usually approached it from the standpoint of fitness. Maybe because, you know, you run into someone, they're like, hey, you're looking really good. What are you doing? And it's like, hey, I started doing this, you know, men's workout group in the morning, and you can invite them. I've had a lot more success with EHing people who I had prior relationships with than just someone that you kind of know as a business contact or something like that. I mean, when I've had those conversations, it's kind of like, yeah, I'm happy to do a deal with you, but I don't know that I want to meet you at, you know, a park at 4:45. But I don't know, Plague, I think your EH tree is a lot more prolific than mine.
I would say, I think you kind of got to know, like, to your point about guys you already know, you know what they're into. And then you know, like, if you got a buddy that's in the gym 6 days a week and you know he thinks he's tough, then I think, you know, you tell him he should come work out, and then you tell him, but you probably can't do it, right? You sort of like tap into that ego a little bit. And then, but then, you know, I've had other friends where I'm like, hey, you need this from a spiritual perspective, right? You need a group of men that can help you to be accountable, right, for who you're trying to be. So I think it just depends. And then sometimes Sky Q for me, like, you know, Khaki's sort of that infamous EH story. I just saw him at Hy-Vee and just for whatever reason was like, you need to come out. And it just clicked for him at the moment in time he was in his life. So I think it Sky Q probably has a lot more to do with the EHs than we'd like to admit sometimes. But
what's it like to love your dentist? Well, you're about to find out where healthy smiles go beyond your teeth. No drilling, no needles, and no anxiety. Relax. It's Omaha Laser Dentistry. Welcome to better. At Omaha Laser Dentistry, Dr. Bullamparty uses the Soleya laser, a CO2 laser that's used in all of his day-to-day patient care. He provides thorough exams, assessments, and treatments for things like snoring, tethered tissue, and extractions like wisdom teeth, as well as other surgeries. Check him out today at omahalaserdentistry.com. Discounts may be available for F3 Omaha members.
What kind of on that note, thinking about the third F piece and kind of Sky Q, you mentioned growing up kind of in a Catholic family, obviously went to prep, but talk us through kind of that third F journey.
Yeah. Well, I guess maybe from a traditional faith standpoint, cradle Catholic, went to Catholic school, kindergarten through graduate school. So being Catholic is kind of in my DNA. Mm-hmm. I had a couple really good role models, in particular in my maternal grandmother, and then I don't call them this, but my step grandparents were very devout Catholics. And so they really were formative to me in, you know, sort of their devotion to their faith, and served as a tremendous role models to me. And so, you know, my family is Catholic. My wife and I are married in the church, and, you know, my kids go to Catholic school. So that part of my life is really important. I think it changed for me a lot when I became a parent. Because it flips from, it's not just about your salvation or your relationship, but how do I model this? And there's, you know, two souls that, you know, are somewhat in part dependent. I mean, obviously you can't force anyone to a relationship with Christ or whatever your faith life is, but it's certainly going to be an easier journey for them if you can model the right behaviors of faith and introduce them. And so,
you know, when, in particular, my, you know, we became parents, you know, that was important, both my wife and I, in ensuring, you know, faith was part of our family life and part of our kids' lives. And, that's strengthened my relationship with God, no doubt. And so it's been self-serving in some ways, because the challenge or opportunity to do that for your kids has enriched my faith life.
For sure. Well, and having kids go to a parochial or, you know, Catholic, or our daughter just started at LifeGate this last year. And I think what I'm noticing is now she has more questions, and,
oh, yeah,
and she's, you know, and so then you've got to be prepared to answer those questions that sometimes are pretty deep, and you're sort of like, shoot, I got to get my knowledge up to speed of, you know, so I can model or provide some good guidance. And it's amazing what the questions kids will ask that you're sort of like, oh, okay, I got to get it into the word and understand it more.
Yeah. I think that, you know, I always told people who work for me, you know, if you can't explain it simply, you don't understand it.
Right.
And, you know, when your kids are asking you, you know, important and challenging, you know, theology questions, the same is true. But, you know, the answer, you're really trying to make it simple so that they can understand, but answering it correctly is, you know, it's a challenge, Blake. I'm there with you.
Yeah, we just had this is kind of a tangent, but my daughter's 9 and she was just asking, we kind of got in this discussion about, you know, forgiveness and sin and how does that all work? And I'm like, that's really complex. Like there's not a simple answer to explain how that all works, you know, other than through faith. And you're sort of like, okay, we got to, you know, come up with, you know, what is there a simple answer to some of those deep questions? But I, you know, one of the things I would be curious your thoughts on this is, you know, guys, I think have those questions too sometimes, but I don't know, they maybe don't feel comfortable bringing them up, or they choose not to bring them up, or, but in terms of F3, like how have you seen us sort of at least provide resources for guys to find those answers? Have you seen us do that? Do you think we're doing okay at that? Or I don't know.
I think even when, you know, it's across denominations or whatever, you know, I've personally had a lot of meaningful conversations with guys on pre-runs or rucks or whatever. And so I think the nature, you know, it being a core principle that it's open to all men, you can always find commonality there. A couple examples I would give, you know, you're talking about, you know, God sort of always having his hand in it a little bit, whether it's an EH or whatever. But, you know, I remember in a beat down, Cheap Seat saying, you know, I listened to this podcast on the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then I didn't do anything with it. And they said, I listen to it every day, and it's been, and okay. But SkyQ didn't get through to me at that particular moment. Well, then we're at Q Source and he brought it up again. And I was like, well, let me check this out. Right. I mean, that doesn't seem like a coincidence 2 times. Well, then the same priest who does that podcast does a Bible in a year. And so I subscribed to both of those. Well, you know, I've almost made it through the entirety of the Catholic Catechism and the Bible this year. Well, I can tell you, I've never sat down and read either cover to cover. I certainly, you know, read both and been exposed to both, but you know, that's one of those things where it's like, you were at the right place with the right guys, and God was able to work through him for me that way.
That's,
you know,
cool.
Another other thing I would just throw out there is, and I think, you know, it was either Birdman or Sparty in their Gloom episodes, but they talked about sort of Ignatian spirituality around that you'd find it proper at Creighton with the Jesuits. And the retreat opportunities I was given at prep really matured my relationship with God, because it changed from someone telling you, you know, hey, here's how the church works, or, you know, let's read this Bible, read this part of the Bible, to really introspectively developing that relationship with them. One of those retreats that was offered when I was a student there is Junior Encounter, which is what the retreat that F3 Omaha now offers. And I haven't participated in that, but for me, it was a change when I was offered those retreat opportunities, because you're not just learning the word or learning the catechism or what it might be, but it changes to, well, let me think about how I interact, you know, with my Savior. And that certainly changed my faith life. And I would encourage anyone, you don't have to be Catholic to pick up the spiritual exercises, but I found that very helpful in my faith development.
Yeah. I love it. And I do think, shout out to the guys for putting the Impact Retreat together, but there's, I was thinking about this because I, this is a question I tend to ask most guys, right? And as I think about it, there's like COTs, right? Like I remember Birdman sharing the Daily Examine one time with us there. The podcast you're referencing, I think it's Father Mike Schmitz, right? Who does a Bible in a year. I've heard so many guys reference that, and I'm not even Catholic, but I've listened to it and I think it's great. Like it's really high quality stuff that he's putting out there. And so it's, I think to your point, it's being around the guys and then just listening to like, oh, what are other guys doing to sort of develop or expand their faith, and then trying something, right? I think that's the, kind of taking that step to, listen to an episode or two, or, go to the Impact Retreat, even if maybe you don't know what you believe. I think that's would be my hope for guys, is that they're listening and they're trying some of these things. If they're sort of in a place of searching or uncertainty with their faith, that they would be able to try. But what you mentioned, QSource, would be curious to get your thoughts on that. Did you participate in QSource often? Was that something you found valuable?
Yeah, I guess the first thing I'd say is a bit of a funny story on being a naive FNG. So there was QSource at Combine. So we went over and did that. And then I got the impression there was only coffee if there was QSource. And so it was weeks later before I figured out there was actually cafeteria after every beatdown. But have had the opportunity to participate primarily probably at Whetstone, because that's one of my most consistent posts. And, really, there's been some tremendous leaders out there with T-Ball and Long Neck and now Big Unit, and all of them, I think, have done a great job in conjunction with, the Qs of exploring that material. That's sort of similar to kind of what you would do on a retreat, where, you're introspective about hard questions, and it forces you to think about, that topic, how you approach that. Are there ways to improve? And a good place to be vulnerable and honest with one another. And so, again, I think that's, very unique opportunity for the PAX members.
Yeah. Well, it's just an opportunity to get other perspective, right? Which is what you touched on earlier. It's all about getting other perspective from other guys. You mentioned some other leaders in there, and we certainly want to take some time to talk about your leadership experience. So walk us through that, deciding to take the flag. How are you asked? Maybe some highs and maybe some lows, if there's any, and that you feel like letting the PAX know about.
Sure. Well, we were kind of through most of flag pass season, and you sort of have, like, I don't know if you want to call it like a year that you come up with. And a lot of the guys, I sort of came in with were getting flags. And I remember at several beatdowns, guys asking me like, "Hey, are you taking a flag somewhere?" I said, "No, not doing that." And at that particular time, my company had announced it was getting acquired, and we were in the midst of a bank integration, and it was very stressful time. And I had kind of talked myself into, I don't need something else. Like, I shouldn't feel bad. I'm not getting a flag. And then, Fine Print reached out and he's like, "Hey, what do you think about taking the flag?" And again, I think it just made entire sense, for that location, for a lot of the reasons I described. Proximity, and I enjoy the beatdowns, and it was a meaningful site to me, because, I think if if some of those sites hadn't launched, maybe I wouldn't have accepted the challenge of F3. So it jumped at the opportunity. It was sort of a fixed site. I needed to be there for pre-things because there's not a ton of pre-runners. So I always felt like I have to be there for the pre-run because there's not a ton of guys that know the route. So
yeah.
I was going to be there, you know, to lead that every week and sort of made that commitment. And, you know, it was a lot of fun. Fine Print really wanted the culture of that site to be in part fun. And so we leaned into, you know, the mullet of AOs and we do convergences with St. Patrick's Day and around Christmas with Fancy Feast. And so there's a lot of fun stuff that we did. And the motto of Mullet of AOs is work hard, play hard. And so, you know, at the other beat downs, we work hard with coupons and we have a good time. And so it was a good fit for me. I will say we don't draw crazy big numbers. There's a couple beat downs where it was just me in the queue. And so if there was a low point, there was sort of always that desire to, you know, I wish we could get, you know, 15, 20 guys here every week. But coupons aren't for everybody. Uh-huh. And so I always, you know, kind of what I told myself is we're going to put the best product out there possible. We're going to schedule good queues and we're going to be prepared. And if someone shows up, you know, they're going to feel supported. And so that was kind of my attitude towards it. You know, tried to do a couple new things, whether it was, you know, we made a logo, you know, site coupons. When I took the flag, Block Party was founded on the 1 year anniversary of Nugent's passing. And so when Fine Print and I talked about, you know, the site and what made it special, we talked about plugging him wearing mullets and, you know, sort of all of that. But one of the other things was, you know, the first beat down we ever did, we honored Nugent. And wouldn't it be cool if this site, every time we posted a flag, honored Nugent? And so we put another shovel in the ground at the 1 year anniversary of the site, the 2 year anniversary of his passing. And if you looked at our logo, there's a couple of homages to Nugent in there. And so just trying to give the site, you know, a bit of a personality and be true to what it is. And so, you know, those are a couple things I think kind of proud of and made it what it is.
Heck yeah. I love that. I do think you and Fine Print both look really good in those mullet wigs, by the way. So, I think talk us through succession planning and kind of how that went for you.
Yeah. You know, I think for every site queue, they're probably wondering who they're going to hand it to not too long after they get the flag. And you want to make sure, you know, there's another high impact man to carry it on because you invest so much into it over the year. And, you know, I had a couple guys that were sort of on a short list. Little House mentioned to me that Sandworm was really digging the coupon beatdowns and I liked them. And if I learned one lesson from watching Fine Print be the site queue, if you got to do coupons for 52 weeks in a row, you better like them. Fine Print was not necessarily a huge fan of the coupons. And Sandworm was definitely on my short list. And he's a pre-runner and, you know, consistent post. And so reached out to him and we talked about it. And I couldn't be any more excited with who I was able to hand the flag to because he's just a hammer. And, you know, really good guy, you know, even though he's a Husker, he's a super guy. And so, I couldn't have been, felt blessed to be able to have him take the flag. Cause I think the site's in great hands and he's such an upstanding guy.
Yeah. And he looks good in the mullet wig too. He had one on. Yeah. I love, I think one of the things we do for guys is like all of life is, you know,
chaotic and probably more serious than it needs to be. And so we get a chance to help guys kind of have fun, right, and not take themselves too seriously. So I love the, you know, just the ability, right, to have something that's fun. And you know, the mullet of AO is like, I don't know that any of us really know what that even means, but it's great. And there's a ton of gifts out there that go with it. And it, you know, and it's just the culture there is a lot of fun. I do think, you know, the tie to Nugent is pretty cool too. And, you know, I think from my understanding, I didn't know him too well, but from my understanding, he liked to have fun and work hard as well. So I think he would be happy to see sort of the nod to him there. What, you know, as you think about just all of your experiences within F3 and, you know, as we're kind of coming to a close, like anything that you didn't get a chance to share that you would like guys to know or any experiences that you feel like, you just want to make sure you get to share today?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe one of the things you ask, in some episodes is like advice for site cues. Yeah. And I guess my two cents there. The Marine Corps has a practice that the officers eat last. And I think that's kind of the mantra you need to have if you're holding the flag. When you show up and plant a flag at your site, that beatdown's not about you. It's about making sure, you know, your cue's there and prepared and, you know, your job's to pick up the six and make sure that, you know, everyone has a successful beat down. And so I think that servant leadership attitude in leading site is probably the most important.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
And maybe the only other thing I would say, sometimes you ask about BQs and I have it saved, but I just want to publicly say thanks to everyone who reached out after my VQ, but in particular Khakis. Yeah, he was at my VQ, you know, said a lot of nice things, but then he sent me this text afterwards. And, you know, I was flying high for probably 2 weeks on that, because if Khakis blesses your VQ, there's no greater compliment in F3. So that'd probably be the only other comment.
Yeah, I love that recognition of support. And kind of on that same note or in the same vein, you know, where today can we offer support to you, or if guys see you in the gloom or anything?
Yeah, well, Father Flanagan was famous for saying pray for prayers. So I'll take any prayers I can get. You know, I think maybe one thing I mentioned earlier is just continuing to focus on gratitude, right? I think it's easy to get caught up in being of the world, not in the world. And I think it's easy to lose sight of your many blessings, you know, and whatever small obstacles in front of you, versus focusing on all of the abundance that's in all of our lives. And so I probably can't be reminded of that enough.
Right on. That's, yeah, I think, you know, you and me both, I when you made that comment earlier, it's just every time I post, somebody says something that just slaps me, right? And I'm like, yep, my biggest problem is now very small, because I, you know, and so I love that. Definitely keep praying for you there. Well, awesome, man. And just thank you for sharing your story. And obviously thank you for your leadership. You know, I think it goes without saying sometimes, but just the effort that each of our PsyQs puts into showing up at that site every day, and your approach to sort of the eating last servant leadership. I think that is so important. So I really appreciate you doing that, and excited to see what's next. You know, we're trying to find ways to keep guys engaged. And so I have to figure out what that looks like for you, because we definitely want to, you know, keep giving guys opportunities to lead and impact the community. But I love your story, and hopefully as guys are listening, they know they can reach out and connect, and, you know, maybe grab a ruck or a pre-run with you to learn more. But we'll do a little
100%.
Little Nemo to take us out here. I'll start. Brandon Fleeharty, 38.
The plague. John Wilbur, 33. Pony Express.
Yeah. Brandon Mason, 41.
kryptonite, and he does the, you know, the Clark Kent showing his Superman suit, right? But there's no, do we have a sound that we make?
No sound, that's no right. Sound, no callback.
Yeah. What would it be if you could choose?
I don't know that there's a good one. Humorously tried to put, must have been Slack or something in your description. I think it used to say, it takes stones to be kryptonite. It's kryptonite's a rock. So
I love it.
I don't know what it would be.
Well, appreciate your time today, man. Have a good rest of your day.
Yeah, thanks, fellas. Really appreciate you.